Well, good morning. I'm not sure this is the morning that we all anticipated, but I hope you're staying warm in your home, around a fireplace maybe, or at least around the computer or the TV, enjoying this morning. We're going to continue in our series in 2 Corinthians, and I'm not sure if you love to travel, don't love to travel, but I love it. I love to travel, particularly love to fly on airplanes. Many times I've told you I grew up in a household that all worked for the airlines, and so I've had the opportunity to go all over the world. And I don't ever get nervous flying, but there have been two times when I really was nervous traveling. And one of those times was when I was in middle school, and my stepdad and I and some other friends had gone snow skiing to Colorado. And on the way back, our flight was taking off from the Denver airport, and snow kicked up into the engine and made this tremendous noise, and we were just about in the air, and immediately the plane went back down on the runway and aborted takeoff, and it was not a fun moment. It delayed actually our trip another day and a half before we ever got home, but that was pretty exciting. I have a friend who's been in two plane crashes, which is kind of crazy, and she still will fly. But there was a time in 2017 when I flew to Nepal with Dr. Ben Phillips, a former church member of ours, and we did some training and some teaching of some pastors, and that's the other time I've been a little nervous in flying. We flew into Kathmandu, were there for a bit, and then each of us flew separately to two other locations. And so I got onto this small plane, not knowing exactly where I was going, and I had no idea who I was meeting. And so I take this small plane for about an hour and a half, and we land at this airport that you see on the screen right now. And I got off the airplane. I walked into that airport in southwestern Nepal, having no idea who I was supposed to talk to, who was going to come pick me up, where I was going. I had no idea, and I was a little nervous. Fortunately, God worked it out, and the man obviously knew who I was immediately because I didn't quite fit in with everyone else, and he got me to my hotel, and I was able to have a great week of teaching. Made it back, of course, home, and here we are. But really, sometimes travel is chaotic and difficult and hard. And the passage that we're going to look at today actually talks a little bit about that chaos and the struggle and the heartache that sometimes comes with travel. And so I want to invite you, if you've got a Bible there at the house, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 12 through 17 today. And so if you're there, we're going to look at a passage where Paul is going from one location to another to meet up with somebody to continue to do ministry in that area. And then something goes wrong, and then he provides the Corinthians with a great theological treatise. So look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says this: "When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest, because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who is in Christ, always leads us, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak Christ." Paul, as he writes this section of the letter, is a little bit in emotional turmoil. He's not in a great place emotionally, because he had an open door in Troas, this other city, to preach the gospel. But something just wasn't right. It just wasn't right. God had opened this door in his mind, and he believed this was the place for him to go. But the timing wasn't right. There was something holding him back. God's spirit was telling him, no, this is not the time. This is not the place. Because something wasn't exactly on par. And part of that is he couldn't find his friend. He was struggling because he couldn't find his friend Titus. Perhaps there was an issue with Titus. Perhaps there was some struggle that Titus was going through. We know that Titus had some responsibility in carrying the offering from the church back to Jerusalem. So maybe there was fear that a negative thing had happened to him. Perhaps he had gotten injured or hurt or someone had robbed him. And so you see in this very sort of humble, vulnerable moment, Paul speaks to his emotional connection to his friend Titus, to his co-laborer Titus. This isn't a lack of faith, but simply concern for his friend, for his co-laborer. He wants clarity on where he should go, how he should communicate, and where the gospel will go forward in the right time, in the right way. And so as you and I think about our own lives, our own Christian experience, know that emotion is a part of that. We have care and compassion for one another. We have concern for each other. Emotion doesn't drive us, right? Our faith drives us. But it doesn't mean we're emotionless. And so Paul demonstrates in a very vulnerable way his emotional sensitivity for his friend Titus and his willingness to listen and wait and be obedient to God's word. And so as you and I faithfully minister in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, remember that ministry involves an emotional commitment. We have to make an emotional commitment, an investment in those around us if we're going to love them, care for them, share the gospel with them. That's our calling. And Paul demonstrates that to us here, that he's listening to the Spirit of God, but he also has a concern for his friend, and that open door all of a sudden was shut. And then he shifts pretty radically, pretty quickly from this very personal, very emotional statement to something very theological. He shifts back to helping the church remember what the main thing is. And he says, but thanks be to God in verse 14, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. He uses this imagery, this metaphor of a triumphant processional, really calling on sort of the Roman experience, that when the Romans would capture, when they would take over a city or a people, they would then process back in, and the soldiers would be, and everyone would be excited and shouting and cheering. And he uses that imagery of this great triumphant Roman processional as an image for what it's like to walk with Christ. That it's not Paul who's the one shouting victory and leading the charge. No, it's Jesus who's leading us in the triumphant processional. And Paul is simply one of the captives of Christ, one of the fellow prisoners, as he says in a number of places in the scripture. He's not the conquering general. No, he is the one being led by Christ. And we all have that same experience when we put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ. He is the one who has triumphed over death. He is the one who has defeated sin. He is the one who gives us life and life abundant. And he is the one leading that procession. And we are following as his faithful ones. And as we follow, as we declare his goodness and his grace, as we celebrate his victory, Paul tells us that we are bearing incense, this beautiful, fragrant aroma of our worship. Because verse 15, we are the aroma of Christ to God. In those victory parades, the spectators would all have incense, and it would create this beautiful smell all along the parade route. And that's what Paul is saying that we are. We're this beautiful fragrance, that our worship, that our lives, that who we are is a beautiful fragrance to the Lord, and that spreads wherever God sends his servants. So wherever we go, whether we're at the grocery store, at the house, at school, at work, in the neighborhood, on the roads, at the mall, among family, wherever we go, we are the fragrance of Christ to God. We are a beautiful aroma, or at least we should be. It's like that diffuser in your house, that when you turn that on and you see that little mist come up, you know that in just a few moments, the entire room is going to smell of whatever that essential oil is. That's what we are. We are the beautiful fragrance of Christ. We are to live our lives in such a way that it brings pleasure and beauty to the Lord. Now, the funny thing about that is sometimes in our desire to be a fragrant offering to the Lord, the people around us don't accept that very well. Sometimes when we live out our Christian life in a way that honors the Lord, there are others who don't receive that very well. In the same way that Paul, when he preached the gospel, when he lived out his faith, oftentimes there would be those who would receive that fragrant offering very well, and there would be others who would reject it. This is just a quick reminder for all of us that the gospel, that fragrant aroma of Jesus, is divisive. The message of the gospel isn't going to be received by everyone, but we still have the calling to be a fragrant offering. You ever been in an elevator and someone walks in and they had a pretty potent dose of cologne or perfume that morning? And you, if you stand in the back and you watch the other people in the elevator, there'll be some people who really like that strong, powerful smell. And then there are others, especially those that can't hide their expressions very well, there'll be others that turn their nose up or grab their nose or cough a little bit because it's so overpowering. That's how the gospel is sometimes. There are those that receive it eagerly and others who will reject it. But the truth is, you and I still have the calling to carry the fragrance of Christ into every environment. That's our calling. We carry the fragrance of Christ wherever we go, and we allow God to be the one to draw men and women unto himself. But we are simply faithful to be fragrant offerings to the Lord, a part of his triumphal procession. That's our calling. Because we're not in control of the hearts of those around us. We're simply responsible to be a faithful presence, a faithful witness to everyone we come in contact, everywhere we go. And so it's our faithfulness that God is looking for. That's what defines our ministry, is are we faithful to the beauty and the grace and the message and the abundant life that God has called us to, so that we are a fragrant offering in Christ. And then he shifts gears one more time as he wraps up this section. Because there are those out there who will peddle the gospel for selfish gain. There are those who are spreading the good news for their own benefit. And he says, that's not how we should be. And he even proclaims of himself, that's not who I am. That's not who we are. We are not peddlers of God's word. We're not there hawking our wares on the street corner. No, we're faithful ministers. Sincere, he says. We're diligent. We're faithful. We're true. We're authentic. We've been commissioned by God. We have a heavenly calling that God has set us apart to go and to minister to the Gentiles all over the known world to spread the gospel, commissioned by God. And we live in the sight of God. It's a beautiful Latin phrase, coram Deo. That means to live in the sight of God, in the sight of God. I want to live constantly knowing that God is with me, he's watching me, he's caring for me, and that everything I do is in plain sight to him. And so I want to be faithful and true and authentic. I want to be centered on the person of Jesus Christ. He is the one who I want to speak of. He is the one who I want to give that fragrant aroma to. And so as you and I think about our own lives, when God opens a door for us, are we committed to invest emotionally with those that God has put in our play, put in our life? Are we committed to engage them relationally? Are we faithfully sharing the gospel, giving the good news of Jesus Christ, that our life would be a sweet aroma to the Lord, to our Heavenly Father? Because the gospel hasn't changed. It's the same gospel in the first century as the 21st century, that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to this earth and lived perfectly. And he died on a cross, innocent, but taking the sin and the shame of the world, your sin, my sin, and the shame of the world, upon his body. He died for us, and then he rose again on the third day. That simple message has not changed, and it brings life to those who receive it. It brings judgment to those who reject it. Our simple task is to be responsible, to be faithful stewards of that simple message. We're responsible for administering the truth, not controlling the outcome. And so be a faithful steward of the gospel. Be a sweet aroma to Christ. Let your life be characterized by sincerity, by the calling of God on your life, by understanding that we live in the sight of God and that all that we do is centered on Christ. Because God is calling us, his servants, to spread the fragrance of Christ, trusting him in the triumph and in the tragedy. That's our calling. That's who we're to be, faithful servants, administering the truth and living a life that is a fragrant aroma to our Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come this morning knowing of your goodness and grace. And God, on a day when we're unable to gather together as a people, my prayer is that we would look out for those that we know, that we would check on people that are close to us, that we would be a fragrant offering to you, and by doing so, we're loving our neighbors well and our family well and our friends well. And God, even as Paul spoke about his desire to share the gospel in every place, God, help us to be sensitive to those moments, to be ready in those moments when you open the door and to trust you when they close. Lord, this week, help us to be faithful servants commissioned by you to share the simple message of Jesus Christ. For we ask this in his name, amen. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we look forward to gathering again next Sunday. Don't forget to check out the website for all the things that are happening in the coming weeks and camps that are open, women's ministry, our discipleship classes, all those things that are occurring in the next few weeks. And of course, you can give online as well. We'd appreciate that considering we didn't gather this week. But we hope you have a wonderful week. Stay warm, and God bless you.